Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, out on the edge of the prairie. It's homecoming week this week at Lake Wobegon High School. Not that we expect alumni to come back. They don't. They come back maybe for the holidays, but they don't seem to miss us all that much. It's been kind of rainy and chilly, which is good because people were working too hard outdoors, getting ready for winter, and so the rain gives you a chance to come in and take a load off and sit down in the Chatterbox Cafe. There's a big thunderstorm on Wednesday and another one on Friday, just poured buckets, and you saw people running across Main Street to get into the Chatterbox Cafe who are not used to running. They are not runners. And you could tell by their gait, they looked like panicked geese. They were just flying, fluttering. Myrtle Krebsbach and Florian Krebsbach running as fast as they could, which is not very fast. Myrtle is 80 years old. Myrtle Krebsbach, who can swear like nobody else. She can swear for 2-3 minutes without repeating herself. She would make a sailor blush. She was running along, cursing left and right, and her mild-mannered husband, Florian, following her, who's never said anything stronger than goodness gracious. For gosh sakes, for Pete's sakes, he might say. They sort of complement each other in a way. She curses, and he's the one who has that calm, level disposition that makes her curse. And so it's sort of symbiotic, or I guess he'd use the word synergy for it, though we don't use the word synergy in Lake Wobegon. It just marks you as an odd person who's not from there if you talk about synergy. We would, instead of synergy, we would just say, quite the deal, heck of a deal. And we wouldn't use the word advocate. She advocates for herself. We would not say that. We'd say she sticks up for herself. She's no bump on a log. She's got a lot of piss and vinegar. She's, you know, she's got gumption, we would say. We wouldn't say advocate or proactive. Rather than proactive, we'd say gumption. We don't use all of those odd words. The rain coming down meant that they had to postpone taking senior pictures for the yearbook because so many of the seniors want their pictures to be taken outdoors. They want to be photographed leaning languorously up against a tree by the lake. And it's not like back in the day when I was in high school when you took those little black and white pictures for the yearbook that looked as if they came right off the wanted poster. Now they're full color and they're full length and they're posed and your hair is swept back and you have a look about you. You have a beautiful look about you. The photographer stands there with his big square box camera and the young woman looks more glamorous than ever before in her life and he says, 5, 4, 3, 2, and she throws her head back and she laughs. And there's the picture. That's the picture. That's her passport to the outside world, not Lake Wobegon, but to take that picture off into the distant world and get some interesting job with it. We would not be impressed by that picture because in Lake Wobegon we were brought up to be modest and self-effacing, you see, and to have small black and white pictures of ourselves. But the seniors are smart enough now to know that in the outside world, modesty is taken as a self-esteem problem. So you have to advocate for yourself. You have to stand up for yourself and be proactive. And that's what they're doing with the yearbook pictures. The football game was last night. We lost to Millett. No surprise there. And then tonight is the dance. So all this week, boys have been angling to ask a girl if she would like to go to the dance with them. It used to be a big deal, the homecoming dance. It used to be almost like the prom, and you got all dressed up and you lined up your date a month and a half ahead. But it's not like that anymore. Somehow it's become just another dance. But the boys, of course, get sweaty palms thinking about this, walking through the halls of school, looking at her, wondering if they dare walk up now before class and ask her. And they get up their courage, knowing that the moment they pose the question, they will be able to tell from the look in her eye and from the twitch of the muscles around her mouth and just her posture, they'll be able to tell if she's astonished, if she's pleased, if she's crushed. She was hoping for something better than you. They'll know right away. But they walk up to her and they say, "If you're not busy Saturday night, if you're going to the dance, I wonder if you'd like to go with the dance, I mean, like with me." Well, she might say, "Are you kidding?" But no, she smiles and she says, "I'm sorry, I'd like to, but I'm going with someone else. You should ask Kirsten." Kirsten, she wasn't even on your list. Kirsten, well, that's interesting. She's kind of a bookish girl. She has very, very short hair. Over the summer, it was like a crew cut. It's grown out a little bit now. She wears glasses, but I mean, she's smart and presentable and everything. So you think about Kirsten, and you look at her in the cafeteria. She's just sitting two tables away, eating her macaroni and cheese, and she's with her friends. What if she says yes? Is that a good thing? Will you be required to go and sit with her during lunch this week and next? Is this like a relationship? Are you going to have to hang around by her locker and have her friends come and inspect you and roll their eyes? Look at you. You walk up and you say, "If you're not busy on Saturday, would you like to go to the homecoming dance? I mean, with me, would you? I mean, it's okay if you can't." And she says, "Okay." Not excited, but agreeable. And so now, off they go. They're working on their skin right now as I talk. The boys up in the upstairs bathroom at home, working on their skin with an abrasive and then an emollient and more abrasives, trying to bring out a glow that never was there before in their lives. Alumni usually do not come back, but Laurel came back from her home in Long Beach, California. She lives on a boat off a dock in Long Beach, California. She hasn't come back for many, many years. She's been gone for 20, 21, 22 years, Laurel. She left as soon as she could to get away from her father, who was a drunk. And she came back to see her Uncle Lloyd, who is the retired janitor from the high school and who is coming to the end of the road. We don't know exactly what's wrong with him, but he walks around carrying an oxygen tank and has two little clear plastic tubes in his nostrils. So she came back to see her Uncle Lloyd, who was so happy that she was coming back to see him that he felt better immediately, and he took off the oxygen tank, and he's walking around just like anybody else. He's so curious about her. She's got a lot of spunk. She's got a lot of gumption. She's very proactive, and she lives on this boat tied up to a dock in Long Beach, California. How can you live on a boat? It's only 30 feet long. There's not room to swing a cat in there. To swing what, she says? No, it's just a saying, just a saying. Just a saying. 30 feet long. Well, that's what I like about it, Uncle Lloyd, is the fact that there's only room for what you really need. And I don't need that much. I need a few books and I need a hot plate to warm up my supper and I have 3 t-shirts and I have 2 pairs of jeans and 3 pairs of shorts and 4 pairs of underwear, and that's all I need. You live there alone? Well, yes, yes. My boyfriend Greg, he lives on his own boat, and he's about a half a mile away from me. Once he moored the boat a quarter of a mile, but that was kind of close. And and I'd rather he be about a half a mile away. So we don't get in each other's way. She's an interesting person, Laurel. She leads an odd life to Uncle Lloyd. What do you do? What do you do out there? She's an interactive content coordinator. She works at home. She works mainly on her computer, sometimes on the phone. She works early in the morning in her pajamas on her boat. She gets up at 6 every morning and does Tai Chi on the dock. She's a vegetarian. What does she do for fun? She reads books. She belongs to a book club, and they read 50 books a year, speed readers, all of them. And they meet to discuss it every Friday night except the holidays. That's what she does for fun. And she's a runner. She's a runner. She runs a 10K race about once a month there in Long Beach. You have a little computer chip in your shoe so that you can see exactly how you did against people in your age group, your category, other program coordinators between 38 and 45 years old who are single, and you can see where you place. She usually runs the 10K in about 50 minutes. That's what she does for fun. That's her life. And whenever she needs him, Greg comes over, or she goes to his place. She calls him Pizza Man because he's there when she needs him, and then he goes away. And it's a life you couldn't lead in Lake Wobegon, you see. Maybe that's why she left, in addition to the problem with her father. She needed to live on water, and you can't do that, really, in Lake Wobegon. And you have lawnmowers in Lake Wobegon to bother you. You've got neighbors you have to get along with who are out mowing their lawn at daylight on Sunday morning right under your bedroom window. You wouldn't have that living on the water in Long Beach. We worry about her. We worry about all of them. Worry about the seniors. Worry about Kirsten. Worry about Laurel. But time passes too fast for us to really worry about them all. The gospel on Sunday was the chapter about the rich man in purple and fine linen and the beggar who begged at his gate, and they died, and the beggar was carried by angels up to heaven, and the rich man was taken down to hell, and he could look up and see the beggar in heaven, and the rich man begged Abraham for a drop of water to put on his burning tongue. And Abraham said, in your lifetime, did you share with your beggar more than just the crumbs off your plate? No, you did not. It's a harsh, harsh lesson with a clear moral. And yet, Congress did vote to take billions away from the food stamp program. Nonetheless, people go their own way. It was a wonderful passage from the Gospel of Luke, and Pastor Liz preached a fine sermon on it, and everybody who came out of church shook her hand and congratulated her, which made her think that maybe it had not been such a fine sermon if people liked it so much. But it's too late to worry about that. Time is getting on, And the sumac has turned red, and the maple trees have turned golden and orange. And Lloyd is wearing his oxygen and his plastic tube. He's not thinking about Christmas presents whatsoever. He's not planning his vacation for March. He's thinking about taking a vacation in October because time is passing. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.